Welcome to the Biola Hour. I'm your host, Mike Ahn. Biola is a faith-based liberal arts university in Southern California, and the Biola Hour is where we have biblical ground conversations on culturally relevant issues with a variety of guests who help us see what our faith looks like on the ground. This week's guest is hip-hop artist Derek Minor. He's released 6 albums, the latest one being Reflection. He also heads up Reflection Music Group, a record label that he started to expand his influence in Christian music and the wider hip-hop world. This interview is taped live at a Biola Chapel. The first segment is my interview with Derek. The second segment is where we field questions from our live audience. I loved hearing how Derek's spirituality inspires his creativity, and his creativity likewise inspires his spirituality. Be sure to catch his unreleased song, El Presidente, at the end of our interview to get a glimpse of his songwriting process.
Hey, Derek, you know, about a month ago, you did release your newest album, Reflection. What were some of the main themes that you were trying to communicate with this album? What was the main message you wanted to convey?
Yeah, I grew up in an environment where oftentimes I would question my value.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I got saved pretty early, but
yeah,
those things would carry along with me. Like,
yeah,
a lot of the frustrations, like growing up in the South,
yeah,
growing up, we weren't poor, but we weren't, you know, rich by any means.
Yeah.
And I think just carrying those things, I think now that I'm older, I realize that a lot of those things, like those things were still there.
Yeah.
And with the album, I remember just the Lord speaking to me saying, like, in today's climate more than any, where being an artist, like oftentimes, like I'm constantly called on the carpet to always be at my best.
Yeah.
Is to know that you are made in the image of God. Like God made you perfect.
Yeah.
He made you just how he wants you to be.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like if I'm not who people want me to be, that's fine, because I'm exactly who God wants me to be. Like, I was made in the image of God, and I think that that's a relevant message, especially today.
Absolutely.
Where we have so many things that constantly are chipping away at that idea of us being made in the image of God.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I think that's the whole idea of the album.
Yeah, no, that's something that we kind of get in our head, but it's something that we got to get into our hearts a little
Absolutely.
Bit more. So thanks for the album. You know, my question is also, Derek, help us to get to know you a little bit more. Like, what was your history like? What has been your influences? Not like your artistic influences,
yeah,
but more of your spiritual influences. What have been some milestones in your life? How have you seen God work just in your history so far?
Yeah. My biggest spiritual influence is my mom.
Yeah.
I come from one of those, like, single-parent households where mom was the rock.
Yeah.
And it's like she worked like 16 hours a day and
yeah,
craziness. But the cool thing, and I think it set an awesome example for me, is she was the same way out in public.
That's good.
She was at home.
That's good, yeah.
And I know a lot of people don't have that testimony. They're like, you know, my mom or whatever, you know, my mom was this way, but when she was at home, she was always the same. And it was a passionate desire for God.
Yeah.
That's what she had everywhere she went, you know.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I just strive to carry that more than anything. So those are some that's a serious milestone. Milestone too. I'm married and
yeah,
I have 2 kids. I have my son Nolan just turned 5 2 days ago.
Happy
birthday. Yeah, man. And my son my son Zane turns 3 on my birthday.
You have a son
birthday.
Named Zane?
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh,
this
straight
is completely
up.
A 3-year-old son?
Yeah, yeah.
Me too. I promise. This is like,
that's weird.
This is not planned. This is like serious. Like, oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Are you Zane?
Yeah.
Yeah. I how you spell
promise.
It?
Zane.
You're kidding, bro.
You too?
Let's swap sons for a day. See what happens.
Let's see what happens. Yeah.
So my huge milestone. Yeah, those are Nolan and Zane. He'll be 3 in December 16th. On my birthday, so that's really cool. Zane is he has mastered how to torture his older brother. he's really mastered that. So one of my milestones is just watching him do that.
Nice.
That's a pretty cool thing. But
nice.
Yeah.
cool. Hey, great. You know, Derek. You know, in what ways does your relationship with God help shape and drive your art? In what ways does your relationship with God, your spirituality, like drive the way you create music, the way you perform music?
It's freedom. I think, you know, in the music industry, and I don't know if there's any creatives in here. It's not just music industry. Creatives, shout out to the creatives. You
there
know
you
what
go.
I'm saying?
There you go.
I think at times, have you ever felt like there's like this lock on your brain, like in a sense as a creative, that you're like, man, I have to do art that works this way. This is what sells. This is what people like.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you look out in mainstream culture, most of the time, some of the most creative guys, they're like, man, I have to go get high or I have to do whatever.
Yeah.
Most of that is just the freedom for them to just say what they really feel.
Right.
That
right.
It's like you get that liquid courage or whatever, and you say whatever you feel. I think for me, that freedom has been God.
Nice.
Like knowing that I can make the music that I want to make, and I can make the music that God put in my heart, and I'm free to do that. And I think for me, that's what my freedom has been, and that's how my faith drives my art, is I can be bold, I can be creative, I can talk about things that people may, you know, they may not necessarily like about it, but it's cool. I'm cool rubbing them the wrong way because I know that, you know, I'm in the scriptures, and I know that what God is saying, and I'm living out, you know, my relationship through my art. I get an opportunity to really share some of my things that are in my heart with my people. So
great. Thanks for saying some of that. And you know, like, I think one thing is, you know, a good artist really captures the imagination with their lyrics, you know, with his or her lyrics. And a good artist really grabs the hearts and minds of society, of people, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lyric in your song Free that I love.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard it, I said, oh my gosh, you know, mic drop, one of those things, right?
Yeah.
And it's, the land of opportunity is only for the ones with opportunity.
Absolutely.
Can you unpack that for us? And can you tell us some more about what the song Free was about, or even like how that came to be?
Yeah, so it was, the background of Free was, I remember watching when I heard about Alton Sterling.
Yeah.
When watching that thing unfold, and literally I made the beat, I recorded the song, wrote the lyrics, everything in 3 hours.
Right.
Mixed it and mastered it, everything myself.
Wow.
And it was really one of those things of, it was out of passion, it was out of frustration, it was out of sadness sadness at the issue, also sadness at the response. I don't necessarily get upset or surprised when I see people that aren't Christians not get it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get it.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's no Holy Spirit there. There's no conviction there. You're just left to your own self.
Yeah.
So when I see non-Christians not get it, I feel sad that they don't get it.
Right.
I feel even more frustrated when I see Christians and believers not get it.
Yeah.
The idea of just at the basic level, whether you agree with the nuts and bolts of everything, there's a degree of empathy that we should all have. Because that's what Jesus had, right? If we're like, Christian is Christ-like, Jesus looks down and he says, oh my God, these people can't save themselves.
Right.
I need to come down and do something about that.
Yeah.
He's driven by love. But when you see Christians that aren't driven by love in issues when people are being killed.
That's right.
Whether you agree with the reason or not.
Right.
There's something wrong there, and there's the frustration there, and I really wanted to take that frustration and that sadness, and I wanted people to see, like, do we not see people are made in the image of God?
Mm.
Like, regardless of whether socioeconomic background or color or anything, like, we're all made in the image of God. So that means that I shouldn't be too quick to pull that trigger.
Yeah.
It also means that if that trigger ever gets pulled, I'm not like, good criminal.
That's
because
right.
We all were criminals.
Yeah.
So what if God was like, I'm gonna wipe out all these criminals, no one would be here.
Right.
We're all criminals. So so the idea of the lyric, the land of opportunity is only for the ones with opportunity. I remember people saying, why don't these criminals or these black guys or whatever that are just in the hood selling drugs, like, why don't they just get a job? And I'm like, do you not realize the system was set up for minorities and people in poor environments to not rise?
Yeah, well,
it's set up for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like there's a degree of there's freedoms here.
Right.
And there's also blocks that allow certain people to get to those freedoms. Yeah. I don't know one person. I know a few drug dealers. I don't know anyone that was like, you know what? When they were like five, I'm going to be a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that made that choice.
Right.
Like everyone I grew up with, when we were kids, they were all like, man, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. Yeah. I want to play video games. I want to be Batman. Like, but no one is like, I think I'll just be a drug dealer. That's pretty cool. So you have to ask yourself, like, what takes a person from wanting to be Batman to a drug dealer?
Yeah.
What takes a person from wanting to be a police officer to a drug dealer? There has to be strenuous circumstances in between that, because we're people just like anyone else. And so I think that lyric, I just wanted to encapsulate that idea that, man, people aren't just, they're not just picking to be unemployed. They're not just picking to go to jail. No one's like, you know what? I think I'll just go to prison when I grow up. Be cool.
Right.
I'll have all my rights stripped away. So, yeah. And then also knowing that the prison is privatized, and black people, we make up, 16-20% of the population at large, but we make up over almost 70% of the prison population.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you can buy stock in private prisons, meaning that you can buy stock in people. I can buy stock in a system, the CCA. I can buy stock in a system that deals in the selling of people. I was told as a kid, you're worth more to the government in prison than you are out, because at least someone's making money off of you while you're in prison. Mm. So with that idea, I just wanted people to see, like, yo, wake up. No one's just like, I want to be a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I go off on when it goes into that, I go off on tangents, and sometimes it's hard for me to come back.
That's okay, man. We want you to go off on tangents. We want to hear your heart, man.
All right. Well, Derek, we're going to answer a few questions from our Biola community. If that works with you.
I'm with it.
All right. Here we go. Here is our first question. All right. You talked a lot about your personal struggles in Save Me. Could you talk about how God got you through that difficult time and how we should react to the hard times in our own lives?
It's interesting. So to give some background on that song, during that time, I had just completed my deal with Reach Records. I had a 2-album deal.
Yeah.
So shout out to Reach. Everybody know, shout out to Reach. I just completed that and sat down with Ben Washer, who was a part owner of the label with Lecrae, and I was like, we both were like, yo, I think it might be good to just, like, yo, let's separate out and let's build the genre more.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole idea. Me and Lecrae, before I even signed, he was like, man, I want to build you up to own your own thing.
Yeah.
Not to necessarily own your masters for the rest of your life. So
yeah.
We were like, yo, it's time. So I was doing that. My dad passed away, and we had a tumultuous, relationship. It was good when it was good, but it was rough too.
Mm.
My wife got a car accident, fractured her spine in several different places, like small micro fractures.
Mm.
And my manager, a lady that I trusted for years, she stole thousands of dollars from me.
Mm.
And I just remember just being like, have you ever just been like,
just speechless, just like, it's just all like, that.
Fam.
Yeah.
Like, I know your guy, you know everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't know nothing. So I'm just trying to, I feel like I'm moving, trying to do good things, and there's all this opposition.
Yeah.
And I remember being in the studio and God speaking to me in that moment. And him saying, son, just rest in me.
Mm.
Rest in me.
Yeah.
And then you start thinking about Joseph, right?
Yeah.
Joseph is sold to slavery.
Yeah.
Gets to Potiphar's house.
Yeah.
Potiphar's wife tried to set him up.
That's right.
Goes to prison for several years,
mm-hmm.
right? Then interprets dreams and winds up being the right hand of Pharaoh.
Mm.
But you can't be that without going through the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if he just was at home with his father, he wouldn't be at the right hand of Pharaoh. The most important thing is not about being at the right hand of Pharaoh, but it's why he was there.
Yeah.
He was there to save everyone. Because Egypt would have been done if Joseph wasn't there to interpret the dream of famine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's the idea in me that I had to realize, like, whatever this is, I know, God, that your thoughts are good for me. Like, you want good things for me. You don't want bad things for me.
Yeah.
And that's when your burdens come, you don't run from Jesus. You run to him.
Yeah.
Because he has good for you. So I would say for anyone that goes through hard times, run to Jesus because he has good for you. The world has nothing to offer. Like, God created you in his image. He loves you. And I think that's the thing. If there's anything that Satan wants to snatch from you, is the idea that God loves you. He wants you to think God is withholding something from you. That's what he did in the garden.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve, you know. I mean, you out here chilling. You know what I'm saying? Naming animals, dominion over the earth and stuff.
Yeah.
God made you, but he's really withholding something from you. Eat the fruit. And they're like, oh, I think I eat the fruit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think we do that sometimes. And I say, don't eat the fruit. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. Here we go. Here's a question from Tyler. What one musician has influenced you the most?
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, man. Because, lots of good musicians out there.
Yeah, man. And I'm a sponge.
Yeah.
I'm a sponge. I soak it up from everywhere. Mm. I was soaking stuff up from these guys. They're amazing.
They're
Give
good,
it up
right?
For them.
Yeah.
Killing it. I'd have to say I don't have one. I really don't. I really, wherever I go, I try to soak up. Because, I mean, there's so much talent in the world.
Yeah.
You have to be a student at all times. As a creative, whatever you're doing, creative or not, you should always be a student at all times. And that's what I fight to be, is just a student. And I try to learn from anyone. And
yeah.
The crazy thing is some of the people, the newer people, are coming up with so many creative ideas. So I'm just a sponge, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Cool. Here's another question. This one's from Rachel. She says, or she asks, what has your journey as a Christian hip-hop artist been like? I guess you could parse that in different ways, as a Christian hip-hop artist or just even as a hip-hop artist. Just what are some of the things in your journey?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think one of the things for me, I could go probably for hours on just that question alone. I think one of the huge things is managing people's expectations. Like,
That's good.
Early on in my journey, like, I was like, yo, I gotta be the best rapper ever. And then being a Christian, like, I gotta be perfect.
Yeah.
That doesn't last very long because I'm not perfect at all. And I think, you know, people's expectations, they're different. Like, you know, I'm going to Texas. I was in Milwaukee. I'm going to be in like several cities. I'm all over the country, and everywhere I go, people have their own idea of who Derek Minor is. They're like, man, I heard your song, such and this, and they think that you're just this person, a certain person all the time.
That's right.
You know, so I go to these different places, and at first I would try to be that person, but now I just kind of like, what you see is what you get. I'm a country dude from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I make rap music.
Yeah.
And I like anime and One Republic. So just get over it.
There you go. Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, that's kind of how I am now.
No, that's good, man.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Here's another question from our audience. How do you think we can help break the system you mentioned, especially as someone that knows nothing about living in that system? Oh, whoa, we got some snaps here.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I don't think we can break the system.
Mm.
I think Jesus can. I think one day Jesus is coming back. He's going to tear that system down.
Mm.
Right? Right?
That's right.
But see, sometimes, like, when we talk about racial injustice, we sort of just think that it's like, oh, it's just a thing we can fix. Like, but we don't realize that the root of that is sin.
Yeah.
It's sin being fleshed out in a systematic way. So I don't necessarily think we can break it, but I do think we can do our best to fight against it. Mm. Just because there's a sinful system here, that doesn't mean we don't fight. Mm. We fight and we wrestle. But the thing is, if it's not racism, it'll be gender discrimination. Right. If it's not right. gender discrimination, it'll be something. It'll be That's persecution right. against Christians. Like
That's right. yeah.
it's an overall sinful picture. So what am I saying? Am I saying, oh, well, the system's broken? Let's just forget it. No, you're saying, how can I me not being a part of that system? What can I do to help change things? I say the same things that you do to help fight against things like abortion and to help fight against sex slavery and to help yeah. fight against, or when your friend is struggling, what do? It's empathy, it's love, it's grace, it's yeah. mercy, mm. it's being the church, it's fighting to snatch people out of that system.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what we're here to do until Jesus comes back and remakes everything. Our right. job is to be his foot soldiers and fighting to snatch people out of the jaws of that system.
Yeah.
And the thing about the system we're talking about as far as racial inequality and things of that nature,
right.
that goes for the people that are the racists and the oppressed.
Mm.
For the racist, it's saying, it's calling people out on the carpet and saying, hey, man, that's racist. And I really want you to experience all of God's creation.
Hmm.
That's what happens when you're
that's
racist.
Good.
Like, I've been able to be in front of all types of different cultures, and it's beautiful because I get to see how God has wired us and shaped our culture so differently. And I get to take that and roll with that. Like, and that's a cool thing. And I think that you fight to snatch people out of the jaws of that wicked system
yeah.
with the gospel.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Was really tangible too. That was actually yeah. a really practical step. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Here's another question. How do you think that artists can use their opportunity to advocate for the dignity of those who are trapped by social structures that devalue them?
You got to be brave.
Mm.
I mean, at the end of the day, artists, you guys know what you have to do, and that's be brave. I mean, I live in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's just be honest. Like, that's just not the place you want to fight for racial equality. It's pretty, it's progressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's doing better.
Okay.
But, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I can read between the lines. I gotcha. Okay.
My first day, here, I'll give you a story. My first day in fourth grade, I was going to a new school, and me and my mom talked about this not too long ago, and I got off the bus, and I'm not an old man by no means. But I got off the bus, and I remember a kid yelling, "Get out of, go home, you stupid porch monkey nigger."
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
And spitting on me. Fourth grade, my very first day at that school. And that broke me.
Mm.
That was back home. I remember being in Michigan, and there was this lady, it was a white lady, and she had the coolest afro I've ever seen. I've never seen an afro that fresh. And I remember I was a young kid, and I was riding the elevator, and I was like hitting all the buttons on the elevator so it was stopping, and it really made this lady upset. And she, I remember her calling me a racial slur.
Mm.
And so what I'm saying is, we know it's here. So the tendency is we could shrink back and say, well, I'm going to risk. Like, I've had people say, I'm never buying another one of your records ever
mm.
because of your song Free.
Mm.
I'm never going to go to a concert. And they use that. I'm unfollowing you. Like, for some reason, you guys feel like unfollowing me is going to, like, that's like the ultimate thing to do. And I'm like, bye. See you later. Like, I'm not even running my Twitter anyway. It's an intern, so, you know. So, that's cool. You know, but I think for artists, it's about being brave and knowing that persecution is going to come along with that. People don't like to hear the truth,
yeah.
but they got to hear it. And artists are, you guys have such abilities to be able to really kind of help. And you may not change everybody, but that one or two people, think about it, you change one person who could change the trajectory of their children,
yeah,
and their children,
yeah,
and their children. That's what I'm after, generational impact.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate that. Here's a big question. Here's a long question.
Here we go.
You said something earlier to the effect that fundamental belief in the image of God in the human person should lead to compassion and love. What would it look like to share the gospel with people who are different from us, specifically those without opportunity, with that sort of compassion and love flowing from a conviction of the dignity of God's image?
Wow.
It's a lot there.
That's a lot. I think I know what you're saying. So I'm going to give it my best shot.
Do what you got to do.
All right. I think that it almost feels like the person was writing the question and they answered their question as they got towards the end of it.
Yeah,
and they were like, I might as well just send this thing anyway. But I think what it would look like is true impact. I think when I look at you, I think some of the issues that Christianity has faced is we look at people as projects sometimes, right? Like, that's my unchristian friend. I'm going to give him Jesus forever. Like, I'm just going to keep, pow. Like, we look at it like it's medicine, like Jesus is medicine. Like, and it's not that. It's we're talking about God here, right?
Yeah.
So my passion when I see you regardless of what your socioeconomical status is, like, I see that you're made in the image of God. I'm passionately chasing you, whether you're homeless with a sign or whether you're a billionaire, because your soul is valuable to God. And I think at times we get caught up in the fact that, okay, we got to go to the poorest of neighborhoods. But, I mean, there's rich millionaires that hate themselves and don't know that God loves them. So I think it's the gospel's for all people. And I feel like wherever your heart is leading you to passionately fight to go there. So if it's people without opportunity or people with opportunity, we all need Jesus.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I answered that, but I tried.
You know what? You did your best off of that book. So.
And this is college. So
that's good. You know, that's good.
Let's go.
All right. Okay. Here's one last one. Oh, whoa. What do you think about that one?
Give us a freestyle?
Yeah, you okay with that? We could drop a beat. Josh, you want to drop a beat for us real quick?
I don't freestyle.
All right.
I'm terrible at freestyling.
Hey, that's okay.
It's bad.
Hey, like, you know what?
But sometimes, I can give you a verse that I've written.
We could do that.
Can I give you something that no one has ever heard before?
Oh, whoa.
Can I pull a Drake?
We could do that.
And do it off of my phone?
We could do that.
All right.
Let's do it.
Drake did it off of his phone. So hold on just a second. I call this one El Presidente.
El Presidente. Does that have anything to do with...
She said, all right. Go on, girl. All right, here we go. This is the lyrics. This is straight on the podcast, everything. So I'm really doing a Drake.
We could do the Drake.
Let's go. All right, check it out. Free Wi-Fi is the platform I'm running on in 2020 for my presidential bid. And you gonna need all of that data just to stream the new songs from RMG coming out this year. Look, I'm trying to change the nation. But first, I build a wall on my Twitter feed to stop your immigration. Look, what's the problem? I used to be your darling. Until I started talking about white supremacy made me nauseous. Oh, did that make you sick? No, it's a sin, right? Just like all the others, and yes, it offends Christ. Y'all want me back on my Christian rap? Let's go and get to it. The gospel based in all my movements. What is your influence? I'm not trying to survive, dog. I'm trying to thrive in a country where the prison system privatized. You can buy stock in it like McDonald's burgers and fries. So that means you can purchase human being lives. Now let that sink in. Now what are you thinking? If it's an excuse for sin, then pray for God's conviction. Because that's not godly, no. That's not the Holy Spirit. We purge the lies from our heart and then pray for repentance. My agenda isn't political. Political is biblical. I'll check Democrat or Republican when it's critical. You can't serve two masters. Choose hard. It's either God over government or government over God.
Thank you.
El Presidente.
El Presidente right there. El Presidente. Hey, you got to run in 2020. Hey, I'm going to hold you to that.
I might do it.
All right.
Me versus Kanye.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
That's what we're going to do.
There you go. Hey, we got one last question for you, and this is the question we ask all of our Bible Hour guests.
Yeah,
what are some of the biblical principles that you thought about, even as you shared today, but what are some of the things that you've been thinking about, even as an artist?
I've been going through this sermon series by Pastor Blake Wilson in Houston, Crossover Bible Church. And he tells the story of Joseph. And again, I think I would reiterate to everyone that's here, you have to know and believe that God loves you and that you have to trust and have faith in him. Where is the sin in Genesis 3? Where is the sin? The sin is that God does all of this for us.
Mm.
He creates us. He gives us dominion. We chilling. I picture Adam riding a lion, like just coming out like. What's up, baby? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I just picture like it going, wow, yo. And God is like, it's cool. I set all of this up for your joy in me.
Mm.
I had untethered relationship. Man, I had strong relationship with God, man. And then we listened to the snake over God.
Mm.
And I feel like that is the wrestle for all of us. And I'm going to tell you, God wants your joy. He wants you to be happy in him. And there's no happiness outside of him. So that's what I wrestle with day after day. It's continuing. Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe the snake? Am I going to fight for joy or am I going to continue down a path that in the end, every time I've sinned and made mistakes, I feel horrible. Like, am I going to continue being a masochist or am I going to chase the joy of God?
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is choosing to chase the joy of God every day.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate that. Appreciate your words. Thanks, man. Okay. All right. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to catch our follow-up podcast, The B-Side, where the Biola Campus Ministry team reflect on what we learned in this conversation with Derek. And if you like what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes and connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to continue the conversation. Also, check out our website at biola.edu/the-biola-hour.